we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the March 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We've got a big weekend of sports to recap for you today, including a couple of milestone moments for African athletes competing here in the United States. We also had the opening weekend of Major League Soccer and the continuation of the She Believes Cup, which Sonny mentioned last week. Big news also here in baseball, with opening day just about 3 weeks away, one of the coveted free agents finally found a new home. Ejene Nwimana has a wrap of the tour of Rwanda, which ended yesterday, and Prince Nesta checks in with news of the European soccer action. But first, we're joined by Samson Omale, who starts his report with a recap of the action from the CAF Confederations Cup from the past weekend. Welcome to the show, Samson.
We begin the sports with results from the past weekend matches in the CAF Confederations Cup. African giant Zamalek of Egypt clawed back into the CAF Confederations Cup title race on Sunday with a 1-0 victory at Petro Atletico of Angola. Overnight leaders Nkana trailed after only 4 minutes in Kumasi, Ghana, and crumbled 3-0 to 9-time CAF Confederations Cup finalist Asante Kotoko of Ghana. New table toppers Al Hilal of Sudan took advantage of sloppy goalkeeping by Zesco captain Jacob Banda to earn a 3-1 win in Omdurman, while Salitas of Burkina Faso failed to score for the fourth consecutive Group B match when they were held to a 0-0 draw at home by 3-time Confederations Cup winners CS Sfaxien of Tunisia. Staying with football news, Ivory Coast's Nations Cup winning goalkeeper Boubacar Barry has announced his retirement from football with immediate effect. It comes exactly 4 years after the 39-year-old retired from international matches after helping the Elephants of Cote d'Ivoire win the 2015 African Cup of Nations. In athletics news, Ethiopia's Bihano Ligese won the rainy heat Tokyo Marathon on Sunday, denying defending champion Dickson Chumba of Kenya a third consecutive title. Bihano Ligese of Ethiopia clocked a time of 2 hours, 4 minutes and 48 seconds to finish comfortably ahead of Kenyan Bidan Karuki in 2 hours, 6 minutes, 48 seconds. Dickson Chumba, who was aiming to become the first back-to-back champion and 3-time winner following his victories in 2014 and 2018, finished third. Ethiopia's Ruth Aga, who finished second in Tokyo last year, won the women's title clocking 2 hours, 20 minutes, 40 seconds to beat compatriot Helen Tola by 21 seconds. Ethiopians have now won the women's marathon in Tokyo in 6 of the last 8 editions. In basketball news, AS Sali drew the curtains on the third window of the FIBA Africa Basketball League 2019 with a 107-93 triumph over Guinean side SLAC to improve to a 3-0 mark. Earlier in the day, Tunisian giant JS Karouyan secured their Elite 8 ticket after a vital 91-70 win over Nigerian outfit Rivers Hoopers to become the sixth team to secure a spot in the Elite 8 phase of the FIBA Africa Basketball League 2019. In cricket news, South Africa cricket captain Faf du Plessis hit an unbeaten century as South Africa cruised to an 8-wicket victory over Sri Lanka in the opening one-day international in Johannesburg on Sunday. The host won the toss at the Wanderers Stadium, asked Sri Lanka to bat and bowled them out for 231, a total South Africa overtook with more than 11 overs to spare. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you for that report, Samson. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Last week, we kept you up to date on the Tour of Rwanda, a one-week cycling tour rated by the Union Cycliste Internationale governing body. Well, Ejene Nwimana checks in from Kigali with the news of how the race wrapped up on Sunday. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports, Ejene.
Yeah. Menihau Kudus made history on Sunday afternoon as he became the first man to win Tour in Rwanda under the UCI 2.1 category, as Astana teammate Pinzon Rodrigo Contreras claimed the ultimate stage 8 in Kigali. According to Kudus, everything was moving smoothly from day one.
Yeah, to control the race for me was not hard. So I get enough support and encouragement from my team. So at the end of the tour, I was so happy to have that yellow jersey after a wide stage 2. So I'm really, really happy. I just say thank you to everyone, to my team.
The 25-year-old crossed the finish line of the 8th and the final stage of the 11th Tour di Rwanda in triumph after finishing 2nd on Sunday ahead of bitter rivals Israel Cycling Academy's Matteo Badilati, who was 7th, and Rene Taramale of Direct Energy, who finished 8th. The victory for the Eritrean cyclist marked the end of dominance of Rwandans, who had claimed the coveted Tour di Rwanda yellow jersey back-to-back since 2014. This year's race is the first that ended without a stage win for Rwandans since 2012. Different Rwandans who said have enjoyed the race remind the Rwandan Cycling Federation to prepare more trainings for Rwandan riders to perform better in UCI 2.1 category. Salim Hakizimana lives in Kigali City. Generally, the race was amazing, but it surprised us all how Rwandans have not even won a single stage. I think this shows how the competition has changed dramatically. So that's why the Federation has to send Rwandan riders international races like this one to be sharpened again. The general classification shows the King of Mountains is Eritrean Yakobo Debesay, best sprinter Lohan Duploy, best young rider Eritrean Yakobo Debesay, best African is Kudus Merhawi of Astana Pro Team, which again is the best team of the Tour di Rwanda 2019. This race brought together 7 riders from a total of 16 teams, started the 8-day race, but only 60 managed to finish it. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Ejen Wimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thank you, Ejen. Glad to have some news of a notable international cycling race in Africa. This is one of my favorite times of the year for European cycling, as the big one-day races are getting started in Belgium, Italy, and France, leading up to the big Paris-Roubaix race on April 14th. Perhaps one of these riders will show himself there. We'll move on to some more sports news of Africans in Europe, but first, this message from Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Tuesday on Health Chat, we will discuss rare diseases, a group of disorders that affect about 350 million people around the world and are difficult to diagnose. Our guest is Chika Dunio, Director of Education Programs with the U.S. National Organization for Rare Disorders. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Speaking of Africans in Europe, we're joined now by Prince Nesta, who has this recap of the action in European soccer, taking us from up north in the Premier League in England, down all the way to the Iberian Peninsula and the Spanish capital of Madrid. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. Algerian playmaker Riyad Mahrez secured City's 5th straight league win with a low strike early in the second half after coming off the bench, as Manchester City returned to the top of the Premier League with a 1-0 win at Bournemouth. Liverpool also blinked fast in the title race as they failed to regain top spot after being held to a goalless draw in the 233rd Merseyside Derby at Goodison Park. The Reds' most promising moments during the match came in two clear sights of goal for Mo Salah in either half, but the Egyptian superstar was denied on both occasions. Klopp's side now remains second in the Premier League, a point behind Manchester City with 9 fixtures remaining this season. Harry Kane's controversial late penalty rescued a point for Tottenham Hotspur in a 1-1 draw with Arsenal after Aaron Ramsey's first half goal had given the visitors the lead. Kane's spot kick was enough to secure Spurs' first draw of the Premier League season, but only after high drama in injury time when Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang saw a spot kick of his own saved by French shortstopper Hugo Lloris. Arsenal now lie fifth in the table with 57 points, 12 more than they had at the same stage last season.
Thanks, Prince. It seems like Manchester United's weekend win handed them a boost ahead of their Champions League clash coming up with Paris Saint-Germain. What do you think?
Absolutely, that's right, Dan. It's like a double boost for them following news that Paris Saint-Germain striker Edinson Cavani will also miss their Champions League clash on Tuesday night. Anyway, Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku struck a dramatic 89th-minute winner as the Laguna Socials Manchester United beat Southampton 3-2 at Old Trafford to leapfrog Arsenal into fourth place in the Premier League. The Red Devils now have 58 points from 29 games, one ahead of fifth-place Arsenal. Gonzalo Higuain and Jorginho were also on target as Chelsea beat Fulham 2-1 at Craven Cottage to hand Scott Parker a losing start as Fulham's caretaker boss.
Prince, just on Friday, we heard from the dynamic and charismatic Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who is getting ready for the Los Angeles Galaxy's opener in the MLS season here in the U.S. He said he's a big fan of Kylian Mbappe of Paris Saint-Germain. Any news from him and the other key players in the French league?
Sure, an own goal from Wesley Lotoa was enough for Lille to tighten its hold on a Champions League qualification place as the Danes secured a 1-0 win victory over Dijon in the French league. Lille now lies second in the table, 17 points behind runaway leaders Paris Saint-Germain, who came from behind to beat Caen 2-1. Thanks to two goals from French striker of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe. French footballer of Malian descent Moussa Dembele also scored a brace, while Burkinabe international Bertrand Traoré, Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay and Nabil Fekir were all on target as Lyon decimated Toulouse 5-1. Italian footballer of Ghanaian descent Mario Balotelli scored a superbly acrobatic volley to help Marseille cruise to victory over toothless Saint-Étienne at the Vélodrome Stadium. The controversial striker grabbed a cell phone from a photographer and took a selfie video celebrating before posting it on his Instagram page later.
Finally, Prince, it seems like Barcelona were all out to end Madrid's title hopes during the weekend. Did they succeed?
That's right, Dan. It was a knockout punch that can only be compared to the kid dynamite Mike Ion Tyson's punch during his heydays. The Catalans also claimed a piece of La Liga history by becoming the first side to win 4 straight league away matches at the Bernabeu. Ivan Rakitic scored the game's only goal as the Blaugrana claimed a second win over Madrid in 4 days, leaving Los Blancos with little in the way of La Liga title hopes, as Barcelona opened up a 7-point gap over Atletico Madrid at the top of the table. Barca also won their 96th Clásico tie, meaning they have more head-to-head victories over their opponents for the first time since 1931. On loan, Chelsea striker Alvaro Morata scored twice for Atletico Madrid in their La Liga victory at Real Sociedad to ensure Diego Simeone's side stays second. And Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Prince. It's always great to hear from Prince Nesta and get his Nesta Nuggets. As I mentioned earlier, it was quite the big weekend for sports here in the U.S. We had the opening to the MLS season and the continuation of the She Believes Cup Women's Soccer Tournament in Nashville, Tennessee. So sticking with soccer and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the big man scored the game winner on Saturday as the Galaxy opened their season with the win over Chicago, as David Beckham's statue was unveiled over the weekend. As you might recall, Beckham made big waves as he moved from playing in Europe to Los Angeles over a decade ago. Ibrahimovic's goal came in the 80th minute. Here in Washington, DC United picked up where it left off last season, looking nearly unbeatable at home, winning on a soggy Audi Field pitch just a 20-minute walk from Voice of America's headquarters. It's a big win for DC, defeating last year's champion Atlanta United 2-0. Goals came late in the first half from Paul Arriola, and just about 13 minutes into the second half from diminutive playmaker Luciano Acosta. Toronto, Minnesota, Montreal, LAFC, and Seattle were also winners over the weekend. In the She Believes Cup second round, Japan defeated Brazil, and the U.S. played to a dramatic 2-2 tie with England. Megan Rapinoe and Tobin Heath scored for the Americans. The final round of the tournament is Tuesday in Tampa, Florida. Right now, unless Japan and England tie in their match with each other, it looks like one of those teams will win the tournament, which is a tune-up for the 2019 Women's World Cup later this year. More news of how African athletes did in the U.S. We have to mention the spectacular performance in Boston on Sunday by Ethiopia's Yomif Kejelcha. He burned out the track in the mile run. Here's how it sounded.
Now it's all about the mile record. 3:48.45. Hisham El Garouche has the record since 1997. And the record is no more.
Kejelcha took 1.5 seconds off of El Garouche's long-standing indoor mile record, running the distance in 3 minutes, 47.01 seconds. His time is an Ethiopian record as well for the mile, indoor or outdoors, and his 1,500-meter time was the third fastest indoor time in history. My colleague Gwen Uten is back after a short vacation with this news from the world of mixed martial arts, as Nigerian-born Kamaru Usman had a title match in the welterweight class on Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. History was made in the United States and in Africa over the weekend. Nigerian-born Kamaru Usman became the first African to become a UFC champion. The 31-year-old welterweight dethroned his American opponent, long-reigning champion Tyron Woodley, to extend his unblemished record to 14 wins. In his post-fight press conference, Usman said his victory could be boiled down to simple mathematics.
I said that, you know what, I'm coming for that welterweight strap, but I didn't know exactly how I was going to do it. You know, I'm a math guy. Okay, that's the answer. This is the formula. Now we got to work out the problems in order to be able to get there. And, you know, tonight was my night.
Usman was born in Benin City, Nigeria, before migrating to the United States as a young child. He began wrestling in the U.S. state of Texas before making the switch to mixed martial arts as a way to support his family. But throughout his career, Usman has held firm to his African roots and proudly sports the nickname the Nigerian Nightmare. And he told reporters his ambitions extend far beyond sports.
In my village, where I'm from, there's still not running water everywhere. People are still struggling to get clean water. So we're going to put something together. I have an excellent team, a great manager, and we're going to put something together. We're going to start an amazing foundation, and we're really going to change lives.
Usman was not the only fighter to claim victory Saturday night. Two-time champion John Jones defeated Anthony Smith to retain his UFC light heavyweight title. Jones's win comes despite landing an illegal left knee to Smith's head in the closing seconds of the fourth round that could have awarded Smith a win by disqualification. However, Smith chose to fight on and was ultimately defeated in a unanimous decision. Afterwards, Jones addressed that illegal strike and had nothing but praise for Anthony Lionheart Smith.
The illegal knee was totally unintentional. In the moment, I felt his body language rising. I felt his body, you know, rising. And I thought I was getting ready to time a great headshot right after he got off of his palm. To my understanding, on his fingertips, he's considered standing. And, you know, his body came up, I threw the kick, and I guess his palm was still down. And totally unintentional. Hats off to Anthony Smith for having a lion heart. I mean, I think the average person would have used that as a way out and became a world champion. He was tired. He had been hit with the kitchen sink. And, I mean, I did an illegal blow. And he decided to allow the fight to continue. And I'm so proud of him for just being a real warrior out there and continuing the fight.
Jones went on to say he owes Smith at least a beer for his decision to continue. The UFC is mixed martial arts' biggest competition. Fighters combine boxing with kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, and wrestling, among other disciplines, all while fighting inside a cage. The competition has experienced a huge jump in popularity, and Kamaru Usman says he hopes his historic victory will inspire a new generation of athletes in Africa. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Dan.
Thank you, Gwen. Now, more news from the U.S., and this time the sport of baseball. One of the most outstanding players from the last 7 years, Bryce Harper, left the Washington Nationals after last season and was auditioning potential new teams all winter. Well, Harper, a former most valuable player, signed a 13-year, $330 million contract with the Philadelphia Phillies last week. The team introduced him at their spring training home in Florida on Saturday.
Throughout the whole process, you know, I think I wanted to leave my door open for wherever I wanted to go. But for me, it was all about the long haul. It was about, you know, being able to dig my roots, being able to plant somewhere where I wanted to be for a long time. And I said that in D.C. when I was there as well. You know, I said I wanted to be somewhere for a long period of time. And we went through that whole process, and it just didn't work out. It just didn't happen. Philly was able to do that for me.
Harper and the Phillies will visit the Nats here in Washington in early April. I wonder what the response will be from the usually tame Washington fans. Let's move on to the NBA quickly. Two big games in the league over the weekend. James Harden and the Rockets faced the Boston Celtics.
James Harden put forth another MVP-caliber effort and, with a little help from Eric Gordon, powered the Rockets past the Celtics 115-104. Harden poured in a game-high 42 points, and Gordon scored 32 to lead Houston to its fifth win in a row. Harden fouled out with 144 remaining, but the damage had already been done despite Boston trimming Houston's 28-point third-quarter lead to 8.
We did a pretty good job, you know, the entire game. We knew they were going to make a run. They're a really good team, especially at home, and we just kept our composure. You know, got some good shots, and defensively we stopped them when we needed to.
Kyrie Irving had 24 points and 9 rebounds, and Al Horford scored 19 to lead the Celtics in their 7th loss in 10 games. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thank you, Gethin. Let's move on to the Toronto Raptors, who won an exciting game over the weekend with the Portland Trailblazers. Kawhi Leonard's last-second shot gave the Raptors the win and kept them up to date with the Milwaukee Bucks, who are the conference-leading team in the Eastern Conference. They're just 2.5 games back. Right now, the Golden State Warriors are the number one team in the West, and Houston is making its way up the charts. 7 wins in their last 10 games. They're in the 5th place spot. And that wraps up the March 4th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger and VOA engineer John Dryden. Thank you for tuning in. Sunny will be back tomorrow. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sunny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we are celebrating the accomplishments of women on the continent. This year's United Nations theme is Think Equal, Build Smart, Innovate for Change. An in-depth discussion on the path to gender equality on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Lenor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Tuesday on Health Chat, we will discuss rare diseases, a group of disorders that affect about 350 million people around the world and are difficult to diagnose. Our guest is Chika Dunyo, Director of Education Programs with the U.S. National Organization for Rare Disorders. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new study in the journal Science suggests there may be very few small Kuiper Belt objects. The Kuiper Belt is an almost 3 billion kilometer wide ring of rocks left over from the creation of the solar system. A Southwest Research Institute-led team of scientists studied photos and data captured during the 2015 flyby of Pluto and its largest moon, Charon, by NASA's New Horizons spacecraft. Their analysis revealed that a lack of craters measuring between 91 meters to 1.6 kilometers on Charon must also indicate that any impacting objects smaller than that may also be rare. The study's lead author, Kelsey Singer of the SWRI, said that a lack of small Kuiper Belt objects indicates the formation and or evolution of the Kuiper Belt were somewhat different than the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. VOA.